Blog Talk Radio.
Good God, what was that?
A giant, hairy creature, part ape, part man. Indians call him Sasquatch. They believe he is as gentle as he is powerful and mysterious.
And welcome to Georgia Bigfoot Radio. I'm your host, Dan Miller.
All right. Good evening, everybody. Welcome to Georgia Bigfoot Radio. I am your host, Dan Miller, and it is great to be back. For those of you that don't know, I had done a couple shows, and I had to take a break for a couple months. Unfortunately, I had a death in the family, and I had to travel out of state. And then when I got back, I was overloaded with some work and other things going on, which is the way life goes sometimes. And so therefore I had to take a break, but it's great to be back. We've got a lot to cover, so let's just dive right into it. First of all, if you have had an encounter and would like to share it with me, or if you just want to send me a message or wish to be on air on Georgia Bigfoot Radio, please go to the Georgia Bigfoot Radio Facebook page. That's Georgia Bigfoot Radio, and there's a button on there, and you can click that button to send me a message. And, of course, please make sure you leave your name and phone number so that if you wish to be contacted by me, I'll know who and what number to call. Also, there is a GoFundMe link on the Georgia Bigfoot Radio page. It is completely voluntary. You don't have to donate if you don't want to, but if you do, you can click that link. All donations go directly back to the show. There is a small monthly cost for to get this show going, and so any and all donations are greatly appreciated, but not required. Okay, so let's dive into it some more here. A couple things I want to go over before we get to our guest. I had the awesome pleasure of going to Expedition Bigfoot, the Sasquatch Museum in Cherry Log, Georgia. And I had the honor of meeting Bob Gimlin when he was visiting there back in September. So that was a fantastic experience. And I have to issue an apology to everybody listening because Mr. Gimlin was kind enough to grant me a 5-minute interview. And I had a 5-minute interview with Mr. who created and owns the Bigfoot Museum up there in Cherry Log. And my dumb butt was editing the interviews, and I end up deleting everything. So I am very, very sorry to all of you out there. Mr. Bacara, if you're listening tonight, I will be contacting you soon so I could do another quick interview and get you on the show. But nonetheless, for any of you out there who haven't visited Expedition Bigfoot, please do so. It is an awesome, awesome setup, and there's some great things coming down the pipeline as well. I also want to let you know what I asked Bob Gimlin, that's G-I-M, not a B, Bob Gimlin. I asked him two simple questions. I said, you know, when the creature came into view, in this case, I know we nicknamed the creature Patty because it's a female. And I asked him, I said, were you overcome with fear at all? You know, were your first instincts to turn around, run, shoot? What did you just happen to get so fueled up with adrenaline that pretty much took over your thoughts? And he said, no, you nailed it on the head. He told me that it was when that creature came into visibility, it was just pure adrenaline rush, and it was like like an excitement, adrenaline combination, and that's pretty much what dictated their actions. And then the other question I asked Mr. Gimlin was, I said, how do you feel knowing that next year in 2017, your film footage with Roger turns 50 years old, and in the 50 years that have gone by since that footage, even in lieu of all the technology advancements that we've had over the last 50 years, your film is still considered one of the best pieces of evidence around in the world of Sasquatch. And he looked at me and he thought about it for a moment. He says, you know, I'm just completely honored, especially the way you said that. And he goes, it's something that will always stay deep in my heart. And I thought that was a great reply to that question. So anyway, again, I want to issue a big apology to all of you out there because my non-tech dumb butt deleted the interview, and I'm so sorry about that. And I promise I'll make it up to you guys another time. And like I said, I'll get the main guy, Mr. Bacara, in an interview, hopefully in the near future, talking about Expedition Bigfoot and what's coming down the pipe up there at the museum. Moving forward, the next thing I want to talk about real quick is just even though I've been gone for a little bit, I've had a pretty steady flow of emails. And most of these emails cover topics that the listeners would like me to talk about. And, of course, I've talked in the previous shows, if you remember, I talked a lot about the Missing 411 series by David Paulides. I've got some more questions about that. Let me just address that real quick. I promise that I will address these curiosities and what I would probably consider passionate interests in the Missing 411 series and how they tie into the Bigfoot world. I'll address that in future shows, but I'm not going to spend too much time on it at all tonight. Because I've talked about it a lot in previous shows, and I promise we'll get back to that. But moving on, another round of questions that were emailed to me was, can we talk about disclosure? Well, I don't want to keep our guests waiting too much longer, so I'm just going to give a short answer. When we talk about disclosure, is this creature going to be is this creature going to be acknowledged mostly by government people or the government period? Are they going to acknowledge that this creature exists? And disclosure when it comes to Sasquatch, I think, is probably a lot more what's the word I'm looking for? It's probably a lot more I don't want to say intense, but some sort of disclosure is probably a little more realistic than, say, disclosure about aliens or UFOs. And the only reason I say that, and that's no disrespect to the UFO field, the only reason I say that is because we have a lot of evidence out there. We have what appears to be, and again, I'm not assuming any predispositions here, but we have a creature that's on video. It's been recorded. It's been witnessed by hundreds of people, if not thousands, stretching from Alaska to Florida for a very long time. And in the last few years, Bigfoot's become pretty popular in the mainstream. And I know this may sound a little corny, but those beef jerky link commercials with messing with Sasquatch, and then of course you couple that maybe with the Finding Bigfoot show, even people who have never believed in this mystery have now heard the term Bigfoot. They've seen it in the form of a show or a TV commercial, and it's sitting there in the back of their minds. Now, it may not be doing much. They still may be non-believers, but it's still out there and more popular. So you couple all that together, put all that together with the sightings and the evidence collected, disclosure is probably I think, a little more realistic now than it was maybe 5, 10, 20 years ago. But here's the problem. I can't sit here and say that disclosure is going to happen, because the problem with disclosure by the government falls into two categories. You have your short-term problems, and then you have your long-term problems. In the short term, you're probably looking at a financial windfall where people aren't going to start – they're going to stop hiking and camping and hunting as much as they used to, and that's going to cost a lot of companies a lot of money. Although I have to say, in argument to what I just said, we kind of already do that already. We already know there's mountain lions and cougars and bears, and they're pretty dangerous, and they have killed hunters and campers and hikers before. So we already venture out into the wilderness knowing that there's a risk out there. My only, I guess, reasoning that I can add to this conversation is that you take a large 8-foot creature like that that is super stealthy, pretty smart, and super strong, and that adds to the fear factor. And in the short term, that could cost a lot of companies a lot of money. In the long term, I think what would probably be really potentially messy would be some sort of huge public rift between evolutionists and Christianity. That's just a guess. I'm not saying that could happen. I'm not saying that should happen. That's just a guess. So short-term financial windfall, some sort of long-term social upheaval of some sorts, if there's disclosure that that this creature exists. That's just my opinion. I'm sure there's many of you out there that probably have a better opinion, and that's okay, because at this point in the game, all we have is our opinions. That's all I'm going to talk about as far as disclosure for right now. Send me a message if you like. I'll be more than happy to bring it up again. We can even have additional guests on the show and create some sort of roundtable where we discuss these topics among 2, 3, 4 people out loud so that all of you can hear it. And that's something that we can do in the future. Now, the phone lines are open. We're going to get to our guest in just a minute, but the phone lines are open. Area code 215-383-5709. That's area code 215-383-5709. If you do call in while we're talking to our guest, I will put you on hold, but nonetheless, I will get to you. In the past, our shows have always been about 1 hour. I do plan on doing that tonight. I may extend that a little bit further just so that we can get caught up on some stuff here, since it's been a little while since Georgia Bigfoot Radio has been on air. But nonetheless, let's go ahead and move forward. I'd like to introduce our guest tonight. His name is Tony Burke. He's from an area of North Georgia, and I'm going to guess, Tony, is it Calhoun?
That's correct.
Okay. So we have Tony from Calhoun, the Calhoun area in North Georgia. And Tony has been investigating this mystery for a long time. And so, Tony, I'd like to welcome you to the show. Welcome to Georgia Bigfoot Radio.
Thank you very much. I'm glad to have a radio station here in Georgia.
All right. Are you doing okay with all the smoke up there?
Yesterday, it was like I know there wasn't moisture, and I just smelt it. And it's just like it's dark everywhere. It was about 5 o'clock. In the afternoon, so I know the sun wasn't about ready to set, so I got smelling of smoke. You know, I don't watch the news that much. I just learned from other people. You know, there's a couple hundred acres burning Rome down below me, the southwest of me, mm-hmm. about 20 miles. I got a couple thousand acres up here up north of me, you know, still on fire. And heard a Natala Halo.
That's all over Natala the news. Yeah, it's all over the news, and I'm in the suburbs of Atlanta, and we've been pretty much covered in smoke pretty much all day today. So, you know, you walk outside right now, you can still smell it, even though you can't see it, being that it's dark out. But nonetheless, it's there.
So, yeah, I'm used to driving semi through there.
Let's start from the beginning. When did you first get interested in this? I call it a mystery, but to me it's not a mystery because I believe the creature exists. But just for conversational purposes, we'll say, when did you first get passionate about this mystery?
Yeah, that's kind of like saying Bigfoot or Sasquatch or whatever, you know. I mean, it's a I got interested in it when I was a kid. I'm not sure if it was the movies in the 70s, but I was living in Ohio, and I was probably about 6 or 7 years old. We lived back a long lane. We had all kinds of hunting dogs and chickens and stuff like that on the farm, and we was out there listening to the radio at night inside in the kitchen, and then the music went off, and I heard that Bigfoot's been sighted in the area. A special bulletin come across the radio, and Bigfoot's been sighted in the area by several people, and which way it was heading. And so later on, we smelled something real foul, and the dogs just barking, you know. Then we all shut the lights off in the house, and then later on, we found out that, one of our dogs come up missing. You can hear them outside choking on their collars. And that's kind of got me interested as a kid. I was driving semi about 2013. I probably started looking about 2014. My dad was down from Ohio. He was telling me about the Bigfoot he had sighted going across the field. He said it was huge. It's black. And I'm driving semi. I'm driving around to different states now. So I'm going to start looking. I'm going to start keeping my eye out and everything. And Lord, that I didn't know that. I thought it was, you know, these things was probably about, 6 foot tall or something like that. You know, it's like a crazed human being with maybe a little lot of hair and just like, you know, half off living out there in the woods. Lord, I didn't know that it was their own being, kind of like an alligator or a horse or something like that, their own creature. And they could probably, you know, I've seen one over 10 foot. Looked like Chewbacca to me. It looked like
that's
it was in his
creature.
Own portals. With the wood in his background and the way he was running, it looked like it was in his own world, you know. I was in his world there for a second.
So you've had a sighting then?
Yeah. I'm probably one of the ones that in this world that had more than one. I've actually had, I can probably count probably about, I know about 4 shore sightings out and old, but either running or standing. And most of them's been all black, except one. The first one is in South Carolina, which if you look up North Carolina, Tim Peeler seen one in North Carolina. He describes the creature the same as I seen, and he was just a little bit north of me when I seen it. I seen mine in Fairplay, Oconee County. He seen his in North Carolina, right there above there, and he describes it hitting a tree branch when it walked out of his yard at 10 foot. And he describes it the same as I've seen it, except he's seen the front of that one. He said that it's like reddish-brown hair, straight hair, like it's been combed, real long on the head and the neck, and, you know, kind of wavy underneath the arms. He said it had a beard along the front of it. And I had a recording of him and me on the telephone a couple times. And I got going through my cell phone, erasing the videos, and accidentally hit the wrong one and erased that conversation. About made me throw up.
Believe me, I know how you feel. where did this sighting occur?
Well, that one right there was in South Carolina. And if I'd have had the dash cam, If I had a dash cam, we'd be talking about that. Everybody in the world would be talking about that one. When anybody spoke Bigfoot, it would have been analyzed, and it'd probably be a lot of people going in after that video. And I was coming back from South Carolina. I usually deliver North Carolina, South Carolina up there, and then I pick up a load and come back to Georgia. I go down to Atlanta. It's about 45 minutes below me on I-75. Then I go 285 east and 85. I run it all the way up to North Carolina and South Carolina. And then I deliver load. I pick up load and come back through there. The same route every day. And I'd be going down through there, and I look, and I think I might see something hid back in there or something. I lay on the horn, or I yell out the window. And I do that for a long time, you know. And then one evening I picked up a load, and I was coming back. This is my first sighting. I was coming back one evening, and it was daylight out. It was just pouring down rain. And, it was heavy downpour. And the rain was moving west, and I was going southwest on 85. Come out of the wall of rain, and I had my windshield wipers cleaned off the windows. I was looking at my gauges on my semi. And then when I come out of that rain, and I was looking at my gauges, I seen something come out of my corner of my eye. I caught something. Just out of the blue, it wasn't, you know, grass or the woods or whatever. I seen something running on the right. I looked up and over. This thing was over 10 foot. It's over in North Carolina, Oconee County, fair play. And I seen it 2013 in October. I believe it was early months. Them days right there just ran right together. And I wanted to pull over after I seen it, but I just couldn't pull over and go in the woods after something like that. I mean, that's just like running in the woods after, you know, a wild animal that's been caged all its life or something. This thing is like over 10 foot. So, I mean, people be careful around a small, you know, gorilla or something like that, even a baby, much less something 10 foot. And I looked over and I seen it running. It ran down the embankment and it cut southwest, running right along I-85. Never did get out the road. It was in the grass. So I knew a car was behind me, so I slowed down. I hit the brakes a little bit, slowed down a little bit. And that thing is probably going 45. Or maybe, you know, I knew it was real short hair all over his body. It's like a reddish brown hair. It was like a horse sort of type hair. And it's long reddish brown hair on the back of the head and the neck. And it's like orangutan, like a wavy type hair by about 18 inches along underneath the arms. And I looked at it, this thing's running after something. And I was like, I followed this thing for at least a couple hundred foot. I said, maybe this thing is running to something. You know, maybe it's running away from the rain. I don't know. I just clicked my head, Bigfoot, and I looked down at his feet, and I couldn't see his feet. His feet was totally covered with hair. I couldn't see the front of it, the side of it, the back of it. I couldn't see his feet at all. I looked back up at it, and it was swinging his arms. And this thing was running so smooth and so fast. The hair, about 15-inch hair on the back of the head, maybe a little bit longer. It was straight back like somebody on a motorcycle. I mean, this thing on a wide open stretch. And this thing was so powerful, massive, and strong, and fast that the hair on the back of the head was just straight back like somebody on a motorcycle. It was peeled back. It wasn't waving up and down. It wasn't falling up and down. It wasn't kind of hopping like a human be running or something like this. Thing was peeled back. I don't know. I really don't know how fast it's going. I was watching it, and I was thinking about where is it going. What might be running after something, running after deer or something, or it. But about time my bumper got up next to it. I mean, it literally my bumper was just right next to it, and it cut right. went right up into the woods. I'm not sure if it felt the vibration of the truck, but I was thinking, or it heard it. And it cut right, went straight up into the woods. And I wanted to pull over. I just couldn't do it. And it really wasn't that big of an area to pull over at. Plus, I was loaded. And I was going a pretty good amount of speed. And I knew a car was behind me. And I don't know what else was coming, because all them hills right down through is up and down, Oconee County there. It's about marker number 7 where I seen it at. And there is some barns and stuff over there. I had went in about a month later. I got my carrying license and got a pistol, a 9mm, and went in over there just for protection. So I went in and I seen some barns and the hayloft, stuff like that. I'm not sure if that's where it ran at that time. But that was the first one I seen.
Let's pause there for a moment. That's one heck of a sighting. If I heard you correctly, you're in your truck. You're coming and it's raining. You're coming down 85 in Oconee County, and you see a creature that is, to your estimation, is about 10 feet tall, reddish brown hair. That is a huge creature. What do you estimate the body weight to be?
I have no idea. I know it wasn't really wide as like be some bodybuilder. And
mm-hmm.
It wasn't skinny, but it was just like the right height and weight looked like for its size, its tallness. I mean, it looked like it was in good shape. I did think that this thing can run over 3 or 4 mountains and before it starts panting like a dog.
Now, and so when your truck came up, just when your truck was just about close to the creature, it banked right and went into the brush. Is that correct?
Yes, it went right up back into the woods, right back up the embankment. I mean, I believe it was like not all the way flat land, but it's kind of like, kind of going down a little bit on the, going southwest on that, and that ditch and all the way down through there, that embankment. There's not really any ditch down through there. Right there where I've seen it, it's kind of like, it goes down just a little bit and then goes back up the hill over there. I mean, that thing was it was massive. It was massive. I mean, it could just roll a truck, a little pickup truck or a little car, and just roll it over, no problem.
Man, my goodness. That's got to be, I mean, you know, when I hear, and I'm going to go off on a tangent here for just a minute. You know, I've spent a pretty good amount of time this summer and this fall camping and hiking trails in the Chattahoochee Wildlife Management Area. And if you've listened to my previous shows, you'll know that I talk about that area a lot for two reasons. One is I go there a lot, but number two, that's a hot spot. There are a lot of sightings to this day in that area. And, you know, when I hear stories like yours, Tony, it's no wonder why people go missing mysteriously. Because if you've got a 7, 8, 9, 10 foot tall creature that's hungry or pissed off or both, and you're in its territory, you're going to disappear and nobody's going to know why. And there's not going to be any evidence. And you're going to end up in one of David Pauliti's books. And, you know, these thoughts run through my head when I'm on these trails by myself or when I'm camping by myself. And I know I'm not supposed to do that. And I promise I'm going to change that. But nonetheless, it can be very, very frightning, you know?
Mm-hmm. I've been in the woods
and seeing
with them. I've been in the woods with them. You know, I took a group in to the woods in Chattanooga where I seen one at. And we went in at night, and it was an oil company owner, flew in from Wisconsin. He took his fiancée and another guy I grew up with. And I told him, you know, I said, I don't know what they're going to do. And there's tracks all around through there. Plus, I seen one from the interstate, from the semi back in a power line. It was waving, it was squatted down, it was waving his head left and right, like erratically, waving his head left and right. I don't know if it's watching northbound, southbound traffic or what. Then another road come in along by about half a football length from it, and another car was coming in that road there, and it's kind of cleared off in between the, where it was. It just had a few bushes in between it and that clearing, and it jumped back like it didn't want to be seen. So it's about a month later, you know, I had done the hiked up all around through there and everything, and probably about 2 months, oil company owner flew in. We went in there with night vision scopes. We went in there daytime, took a bunch of pictures. There's a bunch of creeks and rivers all the way down through there, no hunting area. And we went in there at night, and we went in there. One guy went with us. He did a wood knock, and we got a wood knock response right off the bat. It was probably about 35 yards from us. And then we go in further in the trail, and I was wanting to get up there, this little clearing to the left where it had been flooded and then dries up, flood. There's a lot of down trees and leaves and stuff like that. And we got over there, and it's all flooded. So we got up there, and the guy did wood knock again right before we got there. Got another response, same area to the left of us. And then, so I started playing his Bigfoot yells. I was recording California through a megaphone. I was call blasting. And it echoed through the woods over there. And we didn't get no response. I did that about 5 minutes. Then a guy yelled with his hands. And the one where it did the wood knock, it yelled. Bigfoot yelled at us. Okay, so not even a minute later, one yelled about 80 yards out. This one's a giant. If you ain't never heard a giant yelled in the woods like that, you got something coming.
And now, did you get a recording of this?
No, I didn't record it. We had I had my cell phone, which I was using to play the call blast with. Another guy, everybody had cell phones. One guy had a stick, and I had a Glock 45 on my right. And I told everybody, you know, I don't know what's going to happen. I said, if anything goes down, starts getting a lot of aggressive or something like that, everybody move behind me. And anyway, that giant, when he yelled, everybody in the group, including me, it's the first time I ever heard one yell. I mean, this is, I heard the one on the left yell, but the one on the right, the giant, he's about 80 yards out. This guy yelled, or a female, this thing was loud. This thing was loud. I mean, it's like when you see a giant, it's like if a human took a dog and threw it, this thing can take a lion and do the same thing. That's how big they are. And then this thing, it's probably about 5 or 6 minutes later, this thing had done traveled all that. I've done hiked all that area for it many times. This thing had done traveled through all them creeks and cross rivers and everything. A lot of low brush, briars, all kinds of terrain out through there. It done traveled probably about 70 yards, 75 yards in about 5 minutes. And we didn't even hear him coming up through there. And then he yelled again, the giant did, like a real long yell, sort of like a diagonal, like he was coming in, but going off to the side of us. I said, well, it sounded like he's coming in and everything. And we was sitting there in the trail with the flashlights, never did see nothing. We worked our way back out to the power line area, and the oil company owner, he sees it with his night vision. He's got a night vision scope, paid like $1,800 for it. When you're looking through this scope, it fits on a rifle. When you're looking through the scope, this thing can see 100 yards. Each time you push a button, it'll zoom in 30 yards. It's like pitch black outside. You can see like daylight with this thing. And he's looking at it probably about 30 foot from us. He said he was describing the way it, the only thing he said about it was it's moving to the right and to the left, right and left. He was looking out behind a tree or brush over there. And he was describing the way he was feeling. That's hair standing on my back and all kinds of things up there. And I have found some big footprints up there. I got one casted while I was hiking in the rain by myself in the daytime. I got a cast up there that's 20 inches by 8 inches wide. And then,
God, that's huge.
It looked,
and this
looked
is
like
near Chattanooga?
Big, yeah, it looked like a one big foot with a toe off to the side of it. But when I casted it, and then I took it home the next day and I washed it off, it's actually two footprints. I think it was the giant and the smaller one made an impression about 3 inches deep in this area right next to this creek. Just embedded their feet right next to get together, like it looked like one footprint. I don't know if there's a sign, a signal, or what. I could have got the left side.
And you said that.
And
you said that this was in an area near the Georgia-Tennessee border, heading towards Chattanooga.
Yes, it's actually right behind the rest area. There's an area up there, a recreation area. It used to be a police office, police station there. It was right behind there. There's a recreation up there where people go, like they put on big get-togethers, like the Volkswagen Club will come in once a year. And if you're going 75 north to 75-24 split, there'll be a rest area right there on the right. Okay, that area right to the right of there, that thing was littered with footprints, littered with them, up and down the little streams over there. And there's a lot of embankments that just runs right alongside the rivers and the creeks over there, just like 15 foot high. That's probably about 8 foot spread, cleared out, where it can just haul tail all the way down through there if it wanted to. And there's a lot of low trails alongside that, you know, on the opposite side of the creek. And the water rises up there and goes down right there. I found all kinds of footprints. I got the GPS. I used the car GPS and got the coordinates, exact coordinates of the footprints. And I actually found the large cast that I got. I took it to the foot museum. And then I went and got it about 6 months later. I found it on the west side of 24. There's actually a creek that runs in between there, right underneath the interstate. I'm not sure if that's how the route is, but I want to put a tree cam there sometime, because the street light will shine down, and they will be able to see that ultraviolet or that infrared light coming off that tree cam because of the street light. That one up there was black. The one I seen, I know there was two up there. And if you look up Bigfoot in Chattanooga, it came across the news one time. They was talking about Bigfoot. Was seen, been sighted there several times. And one sighting that they talked about was like probably about 5 or 10 miles northeast of where all this happened at. I've seen them all up and down 75, 85, alongside the interstates. I'm not sure if it's because of deer or what.
So let me ask you a few questions, Tony. What's the southernmost part, say, coming down 75, where you've seen Sasquatch activity? How far south are we? Are we talking Red Top Mountain in Cartersville? Are we talking something even south of that, like in Ackworth? Or are we staying more north, like, like in between Rome and say Chattanooga?
I've seen one one morning. It was kind of I want to say right past Cassville. It was on the left side of the interstate. I had gotten up late that morning. And I was heading down 75. It was daylight out. And I looked up to my left, and I seen one. It had to be a young one because it wasn't that tall. It was probably about 5-6 foot. I'd say five something. And it was all black. And this thing was on the top of the ridge. The trees was cleared out. You can see, it looked like the trees, it's all pine needles all the way down through, and the trees were cleared out in between them. And you could see this thing. It was stalking. It looked like it was stalking because it kind of hunched down a little bit. And it looked like it was stalking or sneaking. It was watching. It looked like it might have been watching for something or watching something on the opposite side of the hill as the interstate. It was paying attention to that side.
And where was this, Tony?
That was over, I think it was down there below Cassville. It was on the west side, the east side of I-75.
Right.
I've heard of
I know where that is.
I've heard of reports down there. But I just wanted to tell you about something else down in that area. I've been studying a little bit on the internet about something I had seen, and I just wanted to mention this to all the callers and everything, that besides the Bigfoot, there is something else out there that I have seen, and I'll stand firm on what I've seen. They call it Dog Man. They call it all kinds of things like that. This thing, you might lose some callers over this because I've got flashes on my website, Appalachian Sasquatch and Bigfoot Research. Now it's called Dog Man, Appalachian Bigfoot.
Okay, so
Dogman.
I tell you what, Tony. We're due for a break here, so let's do this. Let's take our little 5-minute break, and when we come back, we'll go ahead and explore your Dogman sighting, okay?
All right.
All right, so don't hang up, everybody. Just hang on, and we will be right back.
Thank you.
All right, everybody, this is Dan Miller with Georgia Bigfoot Radio. Welcome back. We are speaking with our guest tonight, North Georgia investigator Tony Burke. Now, just before the break, Tony had given us a small introduction into what may be an encounter with a dog man. And you must have read my mind, Tony, because I did have in my notes here that I was going to talk a little bit about Dogman, because rather than probably open up that can of worms, I could probably dedicate a whole show to it. So rather than me go into it with what I had to say, I'll reserve that for another show. So with that said, let's talk about your encounter. Now, Tony, I want to take this really slow because I want my listeners to hear what you have to say here. So if I interrupt you or if I chime in, please forgive me. It's just because I want a clear, concise description for the listeners so that they can get a clear picture of what you saw. So let's go slow and let's start. First of all, where did this sighting occur?
This sighting occurred right below the Dyersville exit, just south of Calhoun, about 20 miles. I think I was going down the interstate around 3:30 in the morning.
When did this occur? Was it a month ago, a year ago? When did this occur?
I'd say probably about 6 months ago or so.
Okay, so 6 months ago, about near the Adairsville exit, south of Calhoun.
Just south of there.
And about 3:30 in the morning. Go ahead.
Yep. There wasn't hardly that much traffic on the road. I know a semi was right behind me. We was flowing south pretty good, about 70 mile an hour. I was loaded. And I was watching this tree line because I'm still all day I'm searching for Bigfoot. So I'm watching this tree line, and it's just like my headlights was dim along that tree line, but I could see in that tree line. I was seeing real good all the way down through there. So I was steadily paying attention to that tree line. And this being come out of the tree line, and it literally just put his arm down on the ground. It was about 5 foot arm. And this thing looked like it was muscle built. It looked like a bodybuilder. I mean, this thing, his arm was huge all the way down, and it was gray. It didn't have no hair on his arm. And this thing come out, it looked like a wolf. It had a big wolf head on it. And it was looking south down the interstate. And there was cars way down south. But anyway, I'm just going to tell you, I hit the brakes when I seen it. I hit the brakes. I started slowing down as much as I could. And then this thing, all my air brakes, you hear my air brakes, and the lights light up, tractor trailer. And then this thing stepped back into the tree line, and you can still see it. And this thing looked up straight into the semi window. And this thing is huge. I mean, the arms, what got me, the arms, front arms, is all the way down to the ground. And this thing, it looked like a 5.5, almost 6 foot tall human height. You got the arms all the way down to the ground, the front arms, and they're huge. And I remember they was gray and no hair on them. And it had like a wolf type head on it, big wolf head on it. And it, when it backed up and looked straight up into the semi window, I mean, it was ridiculous. And I knew there was a semi behind me. And then there was traffic coming north, but it was a bunch of cars. It was way down there. So I don't know if the thing was watching for, you know, deer eat alongside the interstate sometimes at night. They'll be eating right alongside them big semis going up and down the road. So I'm not sure if it was looking for a deer or looking for a chance to cross the interstate. And
so let me get this. If I'm hearing you correctly, what you're going down the interstate roughly six months ago. It's around 3:30 in the morning. You're in your semi, fully loaded, doing your job. At the starting point of the tree line, you see what looks to be a creature that's about 6 feet tall, but with the head of basically a canine or a wolf, and arms that extend all the way down to the ground. Is that correct? And was it muscular?
Yeah, the front arms was muscular. I didn't see too much of the body and the back legs, but the front arms is huge. And I noticed the wolf head on it, the wolf type head on it, and the way it moved, like almost supernaturally, it moved. It just moved like something I hadn't seen before. You know, like, for instance, you see a giraffe, how it moves in real life up close, you know. I mean, I just never seen this thing, much less how it moved before. And I've been doing a little bit of research on it. I have this lady, she does dogman research, does sightings, and she's got a map all around the world of these dogman sightings, and there's none within several hundreds of miles from here. Except two.
Now, are you talking about Linda Godfrey?
I think that might be. There's actually two sightings that was reported to her that she has on the map southwest of mine, pretty close. And I talked to this one guy at Goodwill store over here in Calhoun, and this guy actually has had encounter with Bigfoot and Dogman in the Red Top Mountain area. So that's not too far. And he said he seen a Dogman, and it jumped over his entire truck.
Okay, now let's pause there for just a moment. That's significant because Red Top Mountain is a heavily, heavily populated area. And when I say populated, I don't mean by residents. There are on any given day, and especially Friday through Sunday, there are hundreds of hikers, hundreds of boaters, hundreds of fishermen, and between March and September and October, there are hundreds of campers all throughout Red Top Mountain. Now, that is If someone is witnessing a Bigfoot creature and a dogman like creature, and that and in such a heavy area that gets used, I should say, in an area that is used heavily by outdoorsmen, hikers, fishers, hunters, campers, that is significant, and that's almost a bad situation waiting to happen. It sounds like to me. But go. You said that this creature, this dogman creature, leaped clear over your friend's truck.
Yep, that's what he said. He leaped clear over his truck, and I believe it because you can see how tall a regular wolf or something like that can jump. This thing is well over a lot taller, a lot stouter, a lot stronger.
Now, for you listeners out there, I'm sure you probably know this already, but if you don't, I had mentioned Linda Godfrey. Linda Godfrey is a woman who's written two books. She's known for a book called The Beast of Bray Road, which chronicles a rash of numerous sightings of a wolf-like dogman-type creature in an area of Wisconsin. And she also published a book called, I think it's called Monsters Among Us. Her books are fantastic. I highly recommend those two books. You can go to lindagodfrey.com, I believe. Someday I hope to have her on the show as a guest because I would love to talk to her. But for any of those out there listening tonight that were curious about who Linda Godfrey is, that's who Linda Godfrey is. Now, did you talk to Linda, Tony, about this, or did you exchange information with Linda on any level?
That's correct. I talked to her and actually got my sighting on her map. So my sighting is recorded on her map in that area. If it's right there on I-75, within, you know, several hundreds of miles, there's not a sighting anywhere next to mine. That mine's right there on I-75 or two. Like I said, there's two sightings that she's got reports of southwest there by about 20 miles. And
that's significant. That's very significant because you've got a world-renowned author, and she has chronicled your sighting. That's pretty significant, Tony.
Yeah. Well, I mean, what I'm thinking here is, you know, there's a lot of reports that I haven't reported to any law enforcement and or any kind of, you know, city official or anything like that. I've been on radio several times, but as far as anybody that doesn't know, you know, everybody knows the beef jerky commercial and everything else, but we need on top of the commercial, we need a phone number. We need a phone number where we can call for these sightings. Anybody's got a sighting, call in and, you know, let everybody know. We need a, because I'm sure, you know, we got roads everywhere. They got across the road somewhere, and that's a lot of places they've been seen at on these roads.
I tell you that is a scare. I mean, you know, it scares me. You know, and I hope it scares people who are listening, because the thing about dogman, it's like once you stick your arm down the rabbit hole, there's no end in sight. You just keep falling further and further in when you start exploring this topic. I mean, the bottom line is, what the heck are these things? You know, if you've looked into, say, the writings of a guy who passed away mysteriously, by the way, named Phil Schneider, you know, his name is more rampant among people who study ufology. But, you know, there was a segment in a speech that Schneider had given. I think it was in an interview, or it might have been at a conference. And he basically said, hey, look, you know, these dogmen are man-made, you know, in an underground secret base in Dulce, New Mexico, And they were an experiment they were a military experiment looking for the perfect soldier gone bad. And when we have these sightings these days, this is the remnants of some secret military project that fused a Bigfoot with a wolf. As crazy and unbelievable as that sounds, that's what this guy was quoted as saying. Or now you've got are we looking at something demonic, or is it strictly paranormal in a spiritual sense where it's more of something that's along that realm? Or here we go with some more options. Are we talking about something not of this earth, like alien? You know, you hear about reptilians and insectoids. Is Wolfman part of that group too? Or here's another one. Is the Dogman is it a skinwalker? You know, you do any research into old shamanic traditions, or you talk about the Skinwalker Ranch out west, and you will hear stories of creatures that you just described, Tony, coming from a lot of people in that area. So what do we, you know, it's like, how far down the rabbit hole do we want to go? Are we talking demonic? Are we talking shamanic? Are we talking Skinwalker? Are we talking military experiment gone bad? I mean, it is a scary, scary proposition to try and determine the origin of these creatures, because no matter what the truth is, it pretty much could change the planet in many ways, you know, if that truth was ever exposed on what the heck these creatures are and where they come from. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, as far as, you know, sightings of as many as I've had, there's one point where our family owns property right there along I-75, and I've seen one actually in the same town as Calhoun where I live, and it's pretty close to the interstate. It's a few miles off the interstate, and there was a point in time where I would come out of the house, front door, and we got woods all along the back, and I would be watching. I'd be thinking, you know, this one could be coming right out around the side, and that could just run out as fast as they could run, no problem. If they wanted you, I mean, I'd be going uptown at a grocery store, and I'd be watching the edge of the asphalt, edge of the parking lot, looking in the woods, just keeping my eye out. I mean, I didn't know that, you know, as many as I've seen in them few years, since 2013, you know, is this invasion? Is something going on? I mean, I just wanted to have some protection for myself. No, I got more faith.
When
I was a little bit upset about
when I hear these sightings along, you know, like for example, a lot of your encounters, at least at the very least, the ones you've described tonight are happening along these highways. And it makes me believe that these creatures, whether it's Bigfoot, Dogman, or whatever, these creatures are a lot closer to civilization than we probably realize.
That's correct. I found trails. I found tracks where the Calhoun City is located. If you was coming north on the west side of Calhoun along I-75, what's the nearest place you can go through around Calhoun without being seen? And it's right up this creek bed. And I found tracks all down through there. I came back later and took a rake and raked it all off, and then took pictures and castings, you know, of the footprints all down through there. They actually come up to the creek, and they're looking at the road pretty close to a bridge, and they turned around and left. There's two sets of them. I want to tell you about this sighting that I had in Calhoun. It was right off of, if you're going north on I-75, there's a right past the Calhoun exit, there's a 225, Highway 225 that runs east. And I was
okay, so
my daughter to,
before we get into before you get into that, Tony, I got to tell you we're getting a little short on time. So go ahead with the encounter. Just keep in mind, try to squeeze it in the next 5 or 10 minutes. Okay, go ahead.
Okay. I was taking my daughter to her mother's house, so we was going. It was just me and her, just me and my daughter. She's 13 at the time.
Mm-hmm.
And we was heading to her mother's house by about 5 miles up to 225. There's an old Indian place right there on the right. There's a golf course on the left, and there's an old Indian place right there on the right before they got moved out and everything, where they had built a courthouse and everything else for them right there, and they used to play games right there.
And how long ago was this?
That was probably over a year or so ago. And
okay, go ahead.
It's all they keep it all cut down, all the grass and everything. They had the first newspaper stamp place back in there. They still got it. You can go back in there and walk, pay a certain amount of money, and you walk back into there. And they got some trails, but they got real old houses and the history on the little museum there, and their history on the Indians and everything. So this thing was about a football field length almost back through there. There's a tree line on the east side of the entrance all the way back through there. There's about 4 foot off the tree line. I told my daughter, I said, there's one right there, and she didn't look, seem why I told her to. I pulled into the entrance, and I had my pistol on my side, and I had my video camera. I was going to go straight back to it. As soon as I got out of the car, my daughter said, no, take my mom's house. So I backed up, I took her to her mom's house, came back, I went in, I couldn't find it. I hiked all the way down through there everywhere. I heard something running, and then another place I heard like a bullfrog. It sounded real huge, bigger than a regular bullfrog. I'm not sure what it was, something making a noise or what. But let me describe this thing. It was probably about 7 foot. It had missing hair along the side of the head and the shoulder. It had huge black eyes, almost about the size of orange. And it was standing there like it's possessed. I have seen them when they're standing there, they look like they're possessed. But when
now,
they're running,
are we talking
actually,
about a Bigfoot creature or a dog man?
Yeah, Bigfoot.
Okay.
And this thing didn't have no breast, but his belly looked like it was huge. I don't know if it just gorged itself on something, but his belly was huge. I mean, it looked like it had been having a rough time. The feeling I got from it, and it was missing hair along the side of the head and the shoulder and the side. And that's, I know that way it's been missing hair, because that's the way it's been laying, because of its belly. It's been like that for so long. I mean, it didn't have no breasts. But they're just standing there, right there off the edge of the tree line, way back in there, just looking toward the road.
Mm.
But
you said its eyes were black?
Yep. It was the river runs long back through there, too.
Mm.
Yeah, the eyes are huge and black. Just like one I seen on I-85 one morning. Traffic was heavy. It was right there at Jefferson exit. And it was up an embankment, and there's a black one about 9-10 foot. It was standing there right there on top of the embankment, just standing there right out in the open, traffic going up and down I-85, just standing there. I was like, golly, nobody just sees this? This thing has got some cojones. I mean, this thing is just standing right out in the open, all this traffic just standing right
good
on
Lord.
Top of it, right there on top of the embankment.
You know, Tony, it seems to me, I don't know, I'm sure you probably have thought about this, but it seems to me that you probably should carry something with you that gives you instant recording ability, because you're having some serious encounters, and all these opportunities are great ways, or I
yep.
should say all these encounters are great opportunities for you to document what you're seeing, and if you've got something on your belt, on your head, or in your hand that you can press a button and start recording, that's going to be the way. That's going to be the way to go.
Yeah, I had a GoPro. It was like a $600. I had the chest strap option when I was hiking. And I had so many settings. I just took it back. I couldn't figure it out. I record with my cell phone, but it takes so long to get my cell phone out, especially when I'm, you know, I was driving semi. I'm literally,
yeah.
It takes so long for iPhone 6 to get uploaded to the video and everything, the settings, and I had no dash cam. But you'd have to aim dash cams off to the angles, off to the sides and everything. I did go back to that Jefferson a while later, and I parked at a quick trip that's right down below there on the north side of that I-85 there on Jefferson. And I walked up in that area, and there's pine trees. Every once in a while, there's a pine tree limb just tore off, completely tore off, or just snapped by about 6 foot up, 4 foot up, just all down through there. There's pine tree snaps. Just others, most of them wasn't even snapped. There's just only a few of them that was snapped up there close to that area where it had been standing.
Okay. Well, listen, unfortunately, we are out of time. Tony, I can't thank you enough for taking the time to be on the show tonight. You have given us some serious, and I mean some serious, encounter information tonight. And, you know, I got to say, for all of you listening out there, you have got to be careful. You know, especially, you know, these heavily used places for outdoors activities, like I was describing Red Top Mountain, where Tony's friend had a dog man sighting and a Bigfoot sighting. And if you're not in a populated area or a heavily used area, and you're on a deep trail deep in the woods, or you know you're in a remote location, you have to be even more careful. So, because, and again, please forgive me for saying this again and again, but I certainly don't want you or any of us to end up in a Paul Eadie's book. So. With that said, everybody have a great night. Tony, thank you so much for joining us. And I will be posting again on Facebook when the next show for Georgia Bigfoot Radio will be. I will post who the guest will be. And before we sign off, Tony, is there any? Do you have a website or a Facebook page that you'd like to take a minute to promote?
Yeah, I got one. And I had just changed the name on it. I went from Appalachian Sasquatch and Bigfoot Research to Appalachian Bigfoot and Dogman Research. It's either Appalachian
and
Bigfoot,
that's a Facebook
Dogman
page.
Research. Yep.
Okay.
I would. I like to do it a lot more, but my funds are small. But I was interested in maybe doing some night research for vehicles along the interstate with some night vision and some night scopes on some sleeping darts and stuff like that. But
okay.
My funds are low. But I think that's about the only time you probably more likely have a chance, because I'm not sure if they know about the night vision stuff yet or not.
Tony, I only have a couple minutes left. So, but I need to ask you a quick question, and I apologize in advance, but I need a quick answer. But in your opinion, these creatures, Bigfoot, Dogman, what is your opinion? Flesh and blood, or something beyond that?
I think it could be flesh and blood. And there could be something beyond that, but there could be a point where, you know, before they can transition, or if they do transition, there's probably a point where they can actually, you know, they can't transition if they can't they don't have time to. I think
when you say transition,
someone,
are you referring to when you say transition, are you referring to something more like interdimensional?
Possibly.
Yeah. Okay. Well, listen. I'm sorry.
There's a lot of people that think it's all solid. You know, a lot of people think it's all solid all the time. You know, I don't know. I think there's a way of knowing, but we got to all come together and do what we need to do to get it done.
Well, I couldn't have said that better myself. I agree. Tony, listen, I thank you for your time. I will definitely keep in touch with you and have you back on the show. In the meantime, please, please be careful out there, okay?
Yep.
Okay, you take care now. Okay, bye-bye now.
Yep.
All right, everybody, that was Tony Burke. That was a fascinating block of time where he was relaying some of the things that he has seen. Let's see. I don't have any more other announcements to go over. We covered all that pretty much. And like I said, I will keep going to the Georgia Bigfoot Radio Facebook page for information on upcoming shows, upcoming guests. If you wish to donate, there's a link on there as well. Thank you for listening tonight. It's great to be back. And everybody, please be careful out there. Take care now.